nice. Yeah. Those words are powerful. When we think about those people who have gone before us and taught us the Word of God, right? Certain things we remember, certain professors or pastors or teachers or parents or grandparents or Sunday school teachers, day school teachers, whatever it might be, that have left an impression, an impact on our lives. And we want to leave that same impact on others, right? But it starts with the Word of God. It starts with the Word of God and passed down, not traditions, but the Word of God passed on from one generation to the other. And the scary thing is, will that stop with the next generation? It's very scary. I was going to talk about this later. But as a family support partner, as well as a pastor in an inner city church, you see a lot of stuff. And I'm just going to say it right away. So many of you are so confused, so messed up. It is so scary what I see every day. And I am Muslim, because I can't say what I'd all really would like to say, what is the real truth. The heart of the matter is the heart of our families and the hearts of our kids are being snatched away. So we need to pray like never before for revival. Because here's what's going on. In addition to Fortnite, kids staying up to 4 in the morning and then going to school like zombies after playing Fortnite all night. That's just one area. Uh-oh, I hit a nerve there? Ooh, already. Okay, I'm preaching. There's no fluff here today. We'll just continue that going on, man. But then, sexual identity. I have so many kids that don't know who they are, listening to other kids, trying this and trying that, asking about surgeries, and it is heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking to see what's going on with that. And then one of my teenage kids that I'm working with said, oh, I love and I live for marijuana. Oh, really? He's got so much going for him. That's his love, the love of life. And we can see it in adults, too, where they say, well, Pastor, I'm going to quit drugs, but I'm okay with alcohol. No, no. The Bible says be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, a roaring lion, is seeking who he may devour and snatch up. And so we go from one thing to the next. So we pastors, we're really very concerned about use of alcohol outside of moderation or any use of marijuana or drugs. Say it right now. We don't need to mess our bodies up with that stuff. We don't need it. We need to learn coping skills. And where's the best coping skills? In God's Word. It's in Holy Communion. It's in the presence of God. It's in the fellowship of the saints. It's all those things that give us the coping skills. We've got to get this Word out because I am... This week was just awful there. And I know it's just not just my clients. And so having said all that, this is the word for today is to get ready. The title is The End, ? And there's all kinds of theories about the Great Tribulation, when it's going to happen, how is it going to happen, all this and all that. Let me just talk a little bit about prophecy. We believe, Pastor Rick and I, what's called multiple fulfillment prophecy. When Jesus or the prophets speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, many times they're talking about things in a few years and into eternity at the same time. They're talking about this and that at the same time. And it's only been looking back, all the way back, that you can see all this. And it's called, again, the whole thing is multiple fulfillment prophecy. We have books, we have movies written and produced and watched. They think they know for sure it's going to happen like this, and it's going to happen like that, and we're going to get snatched up, and this can be a literal 1,000 years, and then, oh, really? You're so sure about that? You got it all in control? Is it your plan, your script? I don't think so. Many numbers in the Old Testament prophecy and in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Revelation, are symbolic in the sense that 1,000 is what? 10 times 10 times 10. 10 is completeness. 144,000 as to how many people are in heaven. That's not a literal number. It's 12 times 12 and 1,000 times 1,000 and so forth. 12 is a representative of the church, the 12 tribes in the Old Testament, and the 12 disciples. So it's a representative number of the people of God in the Old and New Testament. The number 7 is perfection. 3.5 is half that, right? So they talk about 3.5 years. And they talk about 3.5 months, or 42 months. Those are many times figurative numbers, would mean something. 666, the beast. 6 is evil. 7 is perfection. So you got 666. It's the unholy trinity. It's about as evil as you can get. Not just one six, but three sixes, far short of seven. Four, the four corners of the earth, four directions we talk about, is a number for the world. Three is for God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? So all these numbers mean something, and a lot of people think they know. Pastors come up and they make a lot of money on books and movies and so forth and say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Well, let's just see about that. And so as we delve into this, we talk about the end, question mark. The end is coming, we just don't know when. Even when Jesus was here on earth, according to human nature, he did not know when the last day would come. Only the Father knows. So if Jesus didn't know, what makes us think we know better, right? Drives me crazy. And then we have people come to us and say, Pastor, this is what's going to happen. How come you're not talking about that? Because we're not sure if that's one guy's theory. We have enough to do with the things we don't have to debate on, right? And we know this is what God says in Fortnite. Things like that. What God says for sure. And there's no... There's no debate, right? We don't want to talk about that stuff that hits hard, but oh, let's talk about theories and endless speculation. We're not supposed to do that. We aren't supposed to do that. So, here we go. Oh, boy. Just love this. All right, so. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. He did say that. And also what he said, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Do you understand? I'm not sure I do totally, but let's go back to Daniel and see. Okay, because in Daniel 11, it says, his armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and will abolish the daily sacrifice. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Okay? So Daniel's going to be a time where you have the Holy of Holies, right? Where the chief priest would only go in there one day of the year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, holy place, holy sacrifices, and to have this desecrated would be awful, right? It's the abomination of desecration. And it's prophesied in Daniel. And it is thought that this was fulfilled in 168 B.C. by Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek. You all know about him, right? Well, Pastor Rick does. But so that was fulfilled later. And Jesus is talking about also the eventual destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem and of the great tribulation and the end of the world. All in one. Over how many years? We don't know how many years, starting with Jesus when Jesus was here on earth. All the way through to the end of time. So it's like a telescope looking way, way out there, but also capturing everything around. So Jesus is giving warnings. A lot of it is regarding to the destruction of the temple and another desolation, abomination of the sacrifice, which would happen when the Romans came and Titus and others would come in and set up their pagan sacrifices in the temple. In the temple. It's like throwing garbage on the altar, right? And I think you mentioned one time, Pastor, about having pork and different things were going on just to throw it in her face. All this kind of stuff going on. A pig on an altar, yeah. Not a lamb, but a pig. And so all this is prophesied. And Jesus is warning the people at that time to get ready. And he said, let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in the house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take a cloak. It'll be so... Here comes the invasion. You won't have time. Jesus is saying, you people won't have time. You've rejected the Son of Man. You've rejected the Son of God. And this is what's going to happen. The temple's going to be destroyed. You look at this great building. We talked about that last week. Like, those stones were like 37 feet wide and about 12 feet tall. And how did they put those together without earth movers and tractors and so forth and cranes? How'd they do that? And it was magnificent. Like you said, it looked like the snow. It snowed. It was so bright and gleaming when the sun would shine on that temple. And so the disciples go, wow, they're like country hits in Galilee. They go, whoa, we're in a big city here. Wow, look at that temple. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, don't make a big deal about some big building. This is going to be destroyed. It's going to be leveled stone by stone as they try to get that gold and look for every bit of gold they can. Don't put your focus on a building. Don't put your focus on the ritual. Don't put your focus on tradition. Put your focus on me because I'm your only hope, your only Savior. That's the bottom line of all this kind of stuff. Focus on Jesus and look to Him. Don't take your eyes off Him as I look for the picture of Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Not tradition, not ritual, not some theological supposition or theory that's out there. So, Jesus is saying, get ready. And when it happens, you won't have time to even get your coat. Which is scary to think about that, what they had to go through. And he also talks about the fact that as for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing infants in those days, it would be awful. Jesus had pity that if this happens in winter, it's going to be worse. He says, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. Why not on a Sabbath? You can't get food. You can't get provisions. If it happens on a Sabbath, everything's closed up. What are you going to do when it's time to leave right now? We talk about having planning kits, emergency kits at home, get ready for a disaster and emergency, which is good. And Jesus is saying, if it happens on a Sabbath, that won't be so good. And he says, from then there will be great tribulation such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What particularly is he talking about right there? Yes, yes. I think, yes, that destruction of the temple, but also the tribulation that's going to happen. Are we in the last days? Were the disciples in the last days? Yes, thank you. You get an A, yes. It's yes, yes, not, oh, well, this has to happen. And here's my chart that proves it, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. No, it's going to be all according to God's will, God's way, and His plan. And so it's yes, yes. And he said, people will come, and they're going to try to lead people away. First of all, the tribulation and the stress and the pressure will be bad. And then on top of it, and he says, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Are signs and, you know the answer to this, but are signs and wonders the true proof of a religion or a teaching? It's miracles. No. You can have miracles by Satan. You can have miracles, New Age, deception. Now, there are true miracles that happen by the Holy Spirit. We see them all the time. People get healed, right? Thanks be to God. We continue to pray for that healing. But it's only in Jesus Christ. Only in Him. So what happens when a cult that says, oh, well, the Bible is for another part of the world. Our Bible is for North America. And Jesus came to North America, and He put some gold plates in the state of New York for you to decipher, and they'll have some writings that look awfully familiar to broken King's English, King James, and it's like mimicking something with no validity. Or another one will say, well, Jesus isn't really God. He had to have someone else come later who had to fulfill what He had missing. Wait a minute. Jesus said it's finished, right? So there are going to be all kinds of teachers and religions and cults that are going, oh, we have a new knowledge. We have new revelations. We have this inner God, the inner Christ, I think one of you mentioned a couple weeks ago. We have to tap into the inner Christ. They're not talking about what we're talking about when we say that, the Holy Spirit. They're talking about our godness. I have a couple co-workers, women that have stuff about goddesses all over the place. They worship goddesses. Really? It's just unbelievable. It's crazy. So the warning is, before the end comes, there's going to be a lot of false religions, a lot of false teachers, a lot of false miracles. So heads up, he's saying. Heads up. And I remember there was a friend of mine in St. Louis. He was walking in a Walmart parking lot, and it was night, and he was really focused on stuff. I don't know if he was on his cell phone or whatever, but he ran into a light pole as he's walking. His head was down, and boom, and he had a big knot on his head from that. And the Bible is saying, wake up, heads up, everybody. Get your heads up, look up. Because if we're looking up, we're looking to Jesus, you know, instead of all that's around us. Because we can get locked out. Now, some of you, I need to let you know, my phone doesn't work. I'm locked out of my own phone. Really? It said, it didn't warn me. It said, oh, your passcode expired. It didn't warn me before. Oh, great. And so I said, put in the old one. I put in the old one. Put in the new one. Put in the new one. Now it says, helper application is not accessed. So I can't change it. So I can't use my phone, sorry. So if you call me today, I'm hoping to go to IT tomorrow. And Paul, I need to have a message for you, too, that I need to give your accountant. Because I can't give it. I'm locked out. It's like, great. Yes. Oh, I will. Oh, I'm hitting them up already. Arrow, you got that right. Right after, well, after the baptism. We got the baptism before Bible class, so. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I have great expectation and hope. However, because this is a company phone, it's always IT. You have to go to IT because they have the administrative blah, blah, blah. The point is, we can get locked out of heaven, for one thing, but also out of what God is doing unless we have a code. Now, it's not what the prophets talk about, certain secret numbers. What's the code? Jesus. Look to Jesus. We keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Him and don't get distracted because we can get our focus off, right? So having said all that, we continue. It talks about the false Christ, false prophets, false miracles, false teaching, tremendous tribulation and stress. It says, for if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there He is, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will arise, perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray if possible even less. See, I told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, He's in the wilderness. Do we go to the wilderness? No. Oh, the world's going to end on December 25th, 2020. Go to this church and you'll be saved. Do we go to that church? No. Does that guy know what day Jesus is coming back? No. He's not any smarter than us. He's deluded. And they, I was off a few months. We're going to try it again this time. As some pastors have done. After the third or fourth time, maybe you ought to leave that church, you know. The guy's off his rocker. So, it's just frustrating when you see all this stuff. He says, see, I told you beforehand. So, don't go out to the wilderness. Look, He's in the inner room. If He's in the inner room, is Jesus at one church and not in another? Not if they're preaching the Word of God. Where the Word of God is, there Jesus is, right? For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When He comes, there'll be no... Gee, I wonder if that was Jesus. He won't come like the first time in a meek little manger. He's coming in all power and all glory. And every eye will see Him as the lightning flashes from one end to the other. He'll light up the sky. There's a song that light up the sky. But after, what is it? Yeah, I love that song. He'll light up the sky. And when He comes, it'll be a glorious day for us. We'll be looking to Him. In fact, Titus talks about getting ready for His appearing. And looking forward to the day when He comes again. And so for the Christians, a glorious day. Now for the unbelievers, not so much, right? Not so much. He says, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Signs in the planets and stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, for they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The liberal professors, liberal theologians, the atheists, agnostics, the unbelievers, the God-haters, they will mourn when that day comes, right? And there they will bow. If not now, then they will. And so it'll be an eye-waking time, right, for the unbelievers. It will not be a good day for them. But as we stay in the Lord Jesus, stay in the faith, what a day. What a great day it will be, right? And there's a song years and years ago, dating myself here, when contemporary Christian music just got started. Contemporary Christian music. Remember the group Maranatha? I think it was called Maranatha, which I love that music. I go, wow, we don't sing this in Missouri Sunday. This has got some life to it. And I go, wow, this is great. So I remember getting my old records at the seminary and playing these LPs. And one of the songs was, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. And it was talking about when Christ comes again. It was a song back in the 70s, a Christian song. Another one will be ready, one will be ready, one. And it ends all with a refrain, I wish we'd all been ready. Da-da-da-da. Another one here. I wish we'd all been ready. And that's our pastor's wish, all of us, for us and you.
Be ready, right?
And that's the focus of all this is be ready. Be ready, because he will come again. And it says, and he will send out the angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I wanted to read about that in 1 Corinthians. It says this, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has put on the imperishable, and the mortal the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so we look forward to that day. We look forward and we had this expectancy of looking forward. We talk about the ever-changing adventure of following Jesus. The adventure is not in getting high. The adventure is not in some video game. The adventure is not in some escape. The adventure is in following Jesus and see where he leads us. Because the darkness is getting darker, if you haven't noticed out there. But the light is getting brighter and brighter for those who stay in the Lord and are part of his renewal and revival and restoration of the church and restoration of the world. Because when God created the world, it was very good, right? And then got messed up. And so God is going to create a new heaven, a new earth. And you ask, Pastor, what does it look like? I'll tell you, here's the answer. I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. Oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Well, we have people gone to heaven and come back and talk about it. And that sounds pretty cool. But beyond that, I don't know. What does it mean? Is he's going to destroy the earth, destroy the earth and create a new earth as well as a new heaven? I don't know. All I know is what the Bible talks about. It says to be ready, and for our own death as well to be ready, that when we die, our soul goes immediately to heaven or hell. Body stays here on the last day, the last judgment day, the last day when Christ comes again. Our body be reunited with our soul. And those atheists who thought they got cremated, God couldn't bring their body together. And really? That's not going to be a problem for God. But we'll have a glorified body. We don't know. We don't sleep. But we also don't know much more than that. And we talked about that too. The time thing is, when we're in heaven, time won't matter. So we can't think of it and talk about it in terms of earthly matters. And just keep trusting. All right? So let's move on. All right. So it says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. As somebody who lives in Arizona, I don't like those words, summer is near. I used to. I don't like that. You know, it starts getting 80 degrees last week. And, oh, man, it's coming already. I know you like the heat, Pastor, but not me. Why'd you send me here, God? I love that 37-degree weather we had. I didn't complain one little bit, right? And summer is near. So that's not a real good phrase for me. But for us as Christians, it needs to be. We look at a fig tree and they would say, well, summer's near, the leaves, and we see that as we start sneezing more and more, that our trees are getting the wonderful flowers and leaves and all that good stuff. But it shows and it tells us that another season is coming, and we need to be ready for the seasons that God's preparing for us as well as the world and not be unaware, right? So we need to be always ready, always looking, always checking out what is God up to. So he says, so also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. It's like you have a gate outside and somebody's outside and you think, is somebody out there? I don't know. Oh, yeah, they're right by the gate. That's Jesus. He's right out there at the gate. He's going to open that gate pretty soon. He's going to come for us and take us to be in heaven. He's prepared a mansion for us in heaven, right? And what a day that will be. What a glorious day that will be. It'll be an awesome, wonderful day. We just got to be ready. He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. What generation? Generation of disciples? Obviously not. Generation is genos in Greek. It means a race of people. This race of people couldn't mean that. Couldn't mean the Jewish people, all that has to happen. Whatever the case may be, we know that all things have not taken place yet. And Jesus ends with saying this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. They don't care what other pastors are preaching nowadays about, well, this doesn't mean this anymore. It changed meaning. It used to say that back in the 1940s, but now it means this. And sexual gender idea, now it means this. And it used to mean that, but that's your grandfather's Bible. Well, it's the same Bible. The ancient words are still true then as now. They do not change, right? They don't change. They don't change. So let's keep on not changing, right, in those areas. Because it's all about getting ready and focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And wasn't Ash Wednesday an awesome service here? Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was to feel God's presence and Jesus' love and His grace and His mercy and coming together and being reminded we are of dust. But that's not the end of the story. But we're loved, and Jesus will take us to be with Him in heaven. And what a time that was of just awesome, holy moments of worship. Last Wednesday night. Just awesome. And we want to keep that as we get ready for Easter, or as we celebrate His resurrection, but also we celebrate His coming again. And we don't know that when that could be. That could be this afternoon. So we got our planners. We got all these plans. We got to do this. We got to do that. Got to get my phone fixed. Well, maybe I won't need a phone. That'd be nice. My smartphone. Anyway. Well, we don't need smartphones. We need, because we got a smart God who leaves us His Word and leaves us His presence, His sweet presence, and fellowship with one another to encourage each other until the day comes. It's getting closer, getting closer. And does it seem like you, as you get older, as I get older, maybe speak to myself, that the days are going faster and faster and faster and faster? It's like, wait a minute, it's March already, March 10th, and it's just Christmas. So we got to be ready. Because ready or not, Jesus says, here I come. Amen. And that's what we say. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.